We are in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 this morning. There's one thing I know this morning, that the enemy doesn't want me to teach this message. That I know. It has been a wild ride this week for me personally. Just really health reasons, and the enemy just really trying to keep me from standing up here this morning and just giving you guys this word. And I know that just because of the subject and just the warfare, the spiritual oppression and battle. And, you know, I do think it has to do with Halloween. I know that Halloween seems innocent to most of us, but behind it is a very, very dark, dark day. And there is a kingdom of darkness, and we've been studying that. And, you know, we have a harvest festival and everything looks pretty and fine, but there is all kinds of things happening in the spiritual world. And I certainly sense that. God brought us here by His wisdom to this passage this morning as we're just traveling through the Word of God. And so we find ourselves on the topic of prayer this morning. And this is, without question, the most important topic for a Christian. You might say, well, I don't know about that, if prayer is the most important. And I would say it again, prayer is the most important topic that I could discuss with you. And more than that, it's the most important thing that you need to be engaged in. It is interesting to me that Satan will seek to allure us away from prayer by other spiritual things, because prayer is on the top of the list of what it means to be a Christian, to walk with God. Is at the very core and center of our fellowship that we have with God. Because prayer is nothing really different than communication. It's our lifeline to God. And I go out on a limb this morning saying that prayer is even more important than the Word of God. Now, I know in saying that, and you've been in our church long enough to know how much I preach on the importance of the Word of God, and I'm not saying it's not important, and certainly I think a good prayer warrior is someone who knows the Word of God and takes that understanding of God that we've learned through theology and through His Word into prayer. So we need both, no doubt about it. And it is interesting that Paul just got done talking about here in this passage in verse 17, the Word of God. And that's what we looked at last week. And now he goes and he says simply this. Let's read it here. Verse 18, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And he will go on to talk about praying for him as well. He goes through this passage as we've been looking at here. Now we are in part 12 of our study here on spiritual warfare, which we've entitled Walking in Victory. And I want to just read it for us again. I think the hearing of the Word this morning is important. Verse 10, I want to start in. And just open your hearts and allow the Word of God to be that sharp two-edged sword and let it just pierce. Those of you that have been with us through the studies, maybe some of the things that God has taught us will come back. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he just says this, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints and for me, that the utterance might be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Would you pray with me? Father, I believe we come, Lord, this morning to this passage, and I know that the enemy wants us not to hear this, certainly not to heed the word that you have for us. So right now, God, I ask that you would meet us here, that you'd open our hearts to what it means to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Show us, Father. Teach us your children. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict us. You'd also, Lord, encourage us, and you would stir us to find the chief, Lord, practice that should be in our lives as Christians. And you would help us, God, to know you and to walk near to you and to live in a life that is in constant fellowship with you. And we thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul says again here, praying always with all prayer. And those words catch me, always and all. I like how the NIV translates this passage. It says, and praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Hear that? That's what it means, this word always. Praying always with all prayers. The word always here is the word for seasons, actually. Pray in all seasons. And the International Standard Version reads this way. It's not a common translation that most people have, but it certainly is one that's out there, and it's a good one. It says this, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request there is. This idea of seasons, the Revised Standard translates the word here, always, all seasons, at all times. So this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, church, let me end with this. Not just my letter, but let me end this idea of a spiritual battle that you're in. That you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you are. You're wrestling against principalities and powers. You're at war against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. After you've taken up the whole armor of God, after you've done all to stand by girding your waist with truth, by being wrapped with the truth, by understanding the truth, by having a walk that would shield your life, a walk of righteousness, having the breastplate of righteousness. We saw that was a practical righteousness that protected the vital organs of the Christian from being destroyed by the enemy. After having a firm foundation, we saw shodding your feet. That's what it was, a firm foundation in the truths of the gospel and in the readiness to share the gospel. After taking up the shield of faith, which is able to quench those darts and those fiery arrows of the wicked one. After you put on that helmet of salvation and after you've taken the sword of the Spirit, here's something that you're going to do always, in every situation, at all times, for every purpose. Here is something I want to give to you that you never stop doing, you never cease from doing, but it is your life. And so when I read that, and when the Holy Spirit is just ministering to my heart as I'm just meditating through this, it nails me. This is the very center of the Christian walk. This is the very core of who we are. I can take up all those other things. And if I forget to engage in prayer, I am missing out on the victory that God has intended for me. At all times and all situations, at all seasons, he says, praying. And do it with this. He says, do it praying always with all prayers and all supplications. Now this morning, I just really want to lay a foundation here for us that we might build upon in the week to come, this topic of prayer. But I just want to say that there are more verses in the Bible than I could possibly teach on concerning prayer. If I've ever had a lot of material before on a topic for a sermon, I've never had this kind of material. Almost every page of every chapter of the book of Acts, I was just kind of thumbing through the chapters in Acts. Almost every chapter in Acts, there is a reference to prayer, or there is the action of prayer. Now that is the history of the early church. That's a foundation that we're to build upon. When I go back to the book of Genesis, and I begin to study it, it becomes very clear. As soon as God wants to engage with mankind, He creates a first man ever. And what did sin do? Sin broke the fellowship that God had with Adam when God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. We're talking about prayer. As we call it prayer. Fellowship, it's communion. It's an awareness that God is alive and present in my life, in your life, always, and on through the entirety of Scripture. It's every single character in the Bible that is a godly character is one who has a prayer life. Everyone. If they don't have a prayer life, they've got a problem because they have no fellowship with God. And so if I say, I'm a Christian this morning, you say, I'm a Christian this morning, you have what? You're in fellowship with God. As a Christian, we're in restored fellowship, right fellowship. We've been born again. We're now in fellowship with the Lord. And as those that are in fellowship with God, the very core of that fellowship is what we call prayer. Now here, the Apostle Paul says, pray always, in every situation, with all prayers. The New Testament, I'll just give you a couple verses, just kind of shoot them out for you here this morning, is consistent with a people. Christians are to be a people that are devoted to constant daily prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Romans 12, 12, continue steadfast in prayer. Note that word continue. And that's what Paul will go on to say here in our text, being watchful to this end with all perseverance in prayer. That's what he's talking about, this continue. Colossians 4, verse 2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul says to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 there, verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Don't cease praying. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, in verse 1, he says this phrase. It's kind of a phrase that, I don't know, it just kind of rings in my ears from time to time. Jesus says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18:1. Men always ought to pray. And then that important little encouragement. And not lose heart. Isn't it easy to lose heart in prayer? And I want to talk this morning with you a little bit about why I think we often lose heart in prayer. I think there are several reasons, but one main one. Now, when Paul writes to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy, he writes to him because there's problems in the church of Ephesus. That's where Timothy is. Paul sends Timothy to Ephesus. There's leadership problems. Some of the elders have gone off. They're speaking heresy. It's a mess. This is a church Paul planted. Paul spent more time in Ephesus than anywhere else in his life, in one location. This was his baby. This was his church. Paul was not able to get to Ephesus. because God had some other things for him, so he sends his most faithful disciple, Timothy. And he tells Timothy there in 1 Timothy, basically an order for how the church is to run and what he's to set back in order. And in chapter 2, he begins that after some introductory things and comments in chapter 1. In chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 1, he says this. He says, I exhort, first of all, that prayers, supplications, giving of thanks, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes on. But the word first of all there is an important word. The word first of all means first in its priority. The Greek helps us to understand those things sometimes where the English is a little lacking in those. But it's not just, oh, first thing I want to talk to you about. But it's the first thing you need to do. The first thing that you want to establish. That first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes on to list the all men, kings and those in authority. And he goes on there in a very beautiful passage of Scripture. But that grabs my attention this morning. First of all, the first thing that the Christian should do in their lives is be devoted to prayer. We know what Acts chapter 1 starts with, verse 14. It says, and the women, and after listening to the apostles with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the women, they continued in prayer. It's kind of how the book of Acts launches. It launches us into the history of the church, and it starts us in a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting in chapter 2, the Spirit of God comes upon the church. We know it as the day of Pentecost. And then Luke summarizes for us in chapter 2, the daily events of the early church. And one of those events, Acts 2:42, was they were devoted or they continued steadfast. There's that word again. We've already read it a few times. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and what? Prayer. Prayer. They were committed. They were devoted to prayer. As I already said, you go through Acts and you just find the history, the recording of the actions of that devotion they had to prayer. When you teach on prayer, when you hear a message on prayer, sometimes you go, great, we're going to talk about prayer this morning. I'm already convicted. Or I'm already condemned. That's unfortunate because God doesn't want to say, hey, I want to commune with you. I want to be your friend. I want to fellowship with you. You should feel bad about that because you don't really fellowship that good with me. That's not God's heart. That's not what I want to bring across this morning. I don't want us to leave going, man, we're a joke. We are a miserable group of people. I can't believe we even call ourselves Christians. I mean, because if a Christian's first and foremost thing is prayer, well, we're not doing it so well. You know, I want to dispel maybe a misunderstanding about prayer. When the Lord says through the Apostle Paul, pray without ceasing to the Thessalonians, devoted to the Colossians, continue earnestly in prayer. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I think sometimes we have this view of prayer that it must be with knees bowed, hands folded, eyes shut. Well, that's obviously not what he's talking about because God isn't telling you to bow your knees, fold your hands, and close your eyes and without ceasing be in that position. That would be tough to live. You know, now, and I'm not downplaying the closing of eyes, bowing the knees, and folding the hands. There's a place for bowing your knees before the Lord. I mean, if prayer never leads me to that, I got a problem. No doubt about that. I'm all about getting on my face and just seeking God. But that's not the beginning nor the end of prayer. Prayer is to be what I might call a God consciousness. That is, I'm conscious that God is here and that God hears my prayers. And therefore, when I wake in the morning, hi, Lord, is the first thought. Not always it's not always something I verbalize. It's just, good morning, Lord. Typically, the way I awake is help, Lord. I don't wake so well. I stay up later than I get up earlier. So it's like, here we are. I wake up usually with some pain in my neck and shoulders. It's just my life. Lord, here we are again. But right away, before I even maybe will talk to my wife or my kids, the Lord, He's the first one I'm talking to. That's what He means. It's an awareness of God. He's in my life. That's the beauty of my relationship with the Lord. And sometimes I think that we feel like we have to do certain things before we can talk to God. Like maybe God doesn't want to hear us. Maybe God's not really into listening to us. I think that's unfortunate because it really hinders us from entering into fellowship with God. The way we get saved is by prayer. I mean, we cry out to God. Our first contact with the Lord is, Lord, okay, I want to give you my life. I want to surrender it all. And you know, it never should change from there on out. Prayer is something that is so powerful. Now, when we look at it in the context of a battle, we're in a battle. We've been learning that. We're in the spiritual battle. I would say that prayer is much like the army. There they are, the Marines. They're on the ground. They're the ground troops. They're foot soldiers. The feet are on the ground. They're embedded into the battle. And they have a radio. And that radio is life and death to them. That radio is bringing them back to the central command. Central command has all of the intel that tells them what's going on the battlefield. And in modern day warfare today, it's very important, and they have a lot of technology that really helps our military to know where the enemy is. When you're in the heat of the battle, there we are, we're foot soldiers, we're on the ground, we're fighting. All you can see is what's right in front of you. And sometimes that can be very discouraging and disheartening. Also, you just don't know, is there more of the same behind them? Am I going to make it? Are we going to survive? And you lose perspective of the big picture. Well, God, He can see the big picture. And prayer is my line back to Him. My prayer is, Father. And I'm not saying, Father, do this, do that, do this. I think that's one of the problems in our prayers. We're telling God what He needs to do instead of saying, Father, what do You want me to do? For He sees. He knows the enemy's right there. He knows right to the north the enemy is coming in. And so He tells us to go to the west. Go to the west. You will avoid the attack coming in. But we look at the west and we say, the west, that's hilly. That's mountainous. That's forest. That's not a place I want to take the soldiers. That's not going to work. The intel knows, listen, that is your best bet. In fact, if you just went up there and just kind of camped out for a few days, the enemy would pass you by and then you could get back on track. But we don't know that unless we listen and trust the intelligence that's coming in from central command. And we've got to first trust the Lord and know that He knows and He sees and He loves and He cares. And He wants to direct us. And so prayer to me, when I think about warfare, it's like that radio. You know, the enemy's greatest desire in battle is to knock out communications. Any of you that have ever served in the military, you know that. Any of you that have ever studied warfare, you know that. The best thing to do is just to cut off communication. Satan's number one attack on your life is to cut off communications with the Lord. That's his first attack. You can still have a Bible in your hand. You can still have the helmet of salvation. But if he can just cut off that, and the book of Hebrews calls it drawing back. He can just get you not to draw near. The opposite of drawing near is kind of drawing back. We draw near through prayer. We draw back from the lack of. And oftentimes I find that some of us would say, I want to pray, but I don't think God hears my prayers. Or, I don't think God wants to listen to my prayers. I know God can hear. He's not deaf. But God is kind of fed up with me or sick of me. Or we might feel a sense of, I'm not worthy right now to pray. Let me just say this. And this is the foundation I want to lay for us, because I really believe that this is an area that so many of us are not praying always with all prayers and supplications, because we don't think we can. We don't think God wants us to, but obviously if the Word of God tells us to do it, God wants us to do it. But there is just this sense of unworthiness, unworthiness. I'm not worthy. I can pray always in every situation and make every request because Jesus died for me. That's a statement I want you to hear. I can pray right now because Jesus died for me. Jesus died. And when He died, He shed His blood. And if my prayer life is based upon my worthiness, I'm in big trouble. If your prayer life is based upon your goodness, you're done for. You're not going to pray always. You're not going to pray consistently. You're not going to be really seeking the Lord. You see, church, here's the foundation. And if we don't get past this point, we don't go anywhere in our prayer life. And I don't think there's any sincere Christian in here today that doesn't say, I would love to have a solid, solid prayer life. More than anything else. Because we know in the depths of our hearts, because the Spirit of God is speaking to us, that we need to be a people of prayer. You know how many old preachers on their deathbed who have ministered and preached and given their lives for the gospel, missionaries have made this statement? If there's one thing I regret in my life and in my ministry is that I didn't pray enough. That is like a consistent message that I hear as I read the biographies of these great men and women and hear the stories and even talk to these great saints. If there's one thing I regret is that I didn't pray enough, and I'll tell you why they didn't pray enough, because Satan sought to distract them with everything under heaven to keep them from praying, just like he does to me, just like he does to you, because he knows that prayer is the most important thing. Prayer is like calling in the air support. When you're in battle and you know, dude, it's too hot in here. I mean, we're not going to make it. And you call in your position and you call in the enemy's position, and typically the central command will tell you where to go. You kind of seemingly retreat, but you're not really retreating. You're just moving. And then they call in the air support and they bring in the bombers and they just wipe out the enemy. And I'll tell you what, that is a real good feeling when you're out there in the heat of battle thinking you're dead, and all of a sudden you just kind of bunker in, hide yourself, and you hear them coming. You hear those planes coming, and you know they're coming on your behalf, and they're going to wipe out the enemy, which you can't do with your operations on the ground. It's, you know, and that's what prayer is like. I mean, as I come to God, it's like, Lord, I can't do this. You know what He says to me? But I can. But I can. Therefore, I call it, and He, according to what He thinks needs to come, what kind of planes, what kind of bombs, what kind of arsenal He's going to bring, and He brings in the air support. Church, without prayer, we are dead in the water, as they would say. We've got nothing as a church, as a people of God, as the body of Christ in this world, if we have severed that relationship or if we've neglected that area of prayer. God wants me to pray. When I read the Psalms, I relate with them and I'm thankful for them. And I read this in the Psalms over and over. As I cry to You, Lord, hear my prayers, attend to my voice, hear my supplication. If you read the Psalms, you hear this over and over, and you're like, when you first read it, you think, maybe God doesn't hear. Maybe that's why I'm struggling. God doesn't hear me either. But you read it, you realize this is a human from their viewpoint talking to God and saying, I feel like there's no one out there. I feel alone. I feel like, as one of the Psalms say, I think it's Psalm 61, as I call to you, from the ends of the earth I call, as my heart is growing faint, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You know, as the ends of the earth. It's like, I'm over here on the ends of the earth. That's how you feel as a little human on the earth. Like, no one knows I'm here. No one can hear me. I cry out to you. Attend to my cry, oh God. Help me, please. If you're real, if you're there, if you can hear, if you would hear. And that's how we feel. Now, that's what the Psalms do. They give us a human perspective of a person like yourself trying to walk with God. But we know in the whole of Scripture that God not only hears, but He attends to our prayers. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is one of the most encouraging words on that point for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And some of us feel like God doesn't care about me. Typically, it's because emotionally we don't feel like God cares about us. Circumstantially, we don't feel like the Lord is caring about us. We feel left. We feel alone. We feel forsaken. We feel forgotten. But everything I just said, I use the word feel. But that's not true. Oh, the feelings are true. They're real. God knows that. But that's why we put on the belt of truth. And that's why we have the sword of the Spirit. For the exacting word for the lies that Satan brings. You're not worthy to pray, he says. You're not gonna. God doesn't want to hear that again. How many times are you going to say that one? You ever felt like that? Like, you know you've blown it. You know you're not right with God. You know you need to get right with God. You know maybe you said too much that you shouldn't have. And you got to go to the Lord. And maybe you're, like some of us that says, well, I'll go to Him tomorrow. Let it wear off a little. Like that's a real thing with God. You mean, let it kind of wear off of you. Like God needs to cool down. It's how we are as humans, isn't it? We'll have a cooling off period. Even counselors will say, we're going to take a cooling off period here between these two. God doesn't need a cooling off. He cooled off at the cross. It's called propitiation. His wrath was appeased. Gone. There. He's not mad. He's not angry with you. He's very aware of you. He's very aware of your problems. He's very aware of your sin. He's very aware. In fact, He could tell you how many times you've actually confessed that same sin and said you would never do it again, and how many times you've done it again. And He is there to hear you again. Cast your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares about you. Someone say, well, my problems are too petty, too insignificant. God wouldn't care. God doesn't care about me. There's people that have real problems. People that are like really sick and I'm crying about my sniffle, you know. There's people that really, really have trials and I'm saying, Lord, please provide for me. And, you know, there's people that have no food. And there's Christians that are being persecuted right now. And they've been ripped apart from their families. And I'm just a big wimp here. It might be true, but God still cares because He cares about what you care about. And that's your life. That's where you are. And that's where He is. For He's with you. And He cares about you. So cast your cares upon Him because He cares. Interesting, you read the rest of the passage there in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and on. He talks about how Satan walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Right before he talks about warfare, he talks about prayer. And he talks about casting your cares upon Him. You see, here's the confidence that you and I have today. You and I have a confidence to come to God and obey His word by obeying, praying always with all prayers and all supplications at all times, in all seasons, in every situation, because He died. Because it's not about my worthiness. My confidence doesn't depend on my worthiness. It's about His worthiness. Amen? And thank God. And it's not based upon what I have done for Him or what I haven't done for Him. It's based upon what He did at one act. And that is on the cross. Well, if God really loved me, He would provide. He would do this. Would God, if He loved me, allow this to happen? Instead of trying to figure God out or be God, we need to learn something. God loves me. That is a non-negotiable issue. He loves me because at Calvary it was demonstrated. And the blood of Jesus Christ is all that I need to know it, to believe it, to live it, and find grace and victory to go to God at any time, in any situation, no matter where I've been, no matter how hard I've fallen, or no matter how high I'm rising. It's based on His blood. And that's it. Church, I will say this maybe every week until the day I die. Because we need to hear it. And you can say, I know that. But do you live it? Do you live it? Does it affect you in the way when Satan says to you, or when your own mind says to you, God doesn't love you, God doesn't want to listen to you, don't you pray right now. He didn't want to hear it from you. That you just say, yes, He does. And I can't believe it either. But He does. And He loves me. And I don't know why, but He does. And I'm going to take that. I need love. I need help. I need the Lord. And He has never, ever failed me before. Nor will He ever. Because He loves me, and I know it not because I feel like it, but because He died for me. Period. End of the story. And now prayer begins. A fellowship with God that is unbroken is given to me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's the foundation. From there we can talk about prayer. But let's just, as we would say in the construction world, let's let this foundation really set. Turn with me to Hebrews, and this will lead us into communion here together this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. This is my life verse, and I want to share it with you. And again, I know I've shared it with you many of times, but I want to tell you, I couldn't hear this verse enough. This morning, as I share it with you again, I'm renewed, I'm revived, I'm reminded. Peter said it this way in his second epistle. He says, the things that I'm sharing with you, I know that you are already established in the present truth. Established, not just you know, you're established in it. He says, but I'll say it again and again, that you are reminded of these things. We need to be reminded, and communion is a physical reminder of what we're looking at right here. And so here we are. Again, Communion Sunday, as we just want to step back and be reminded of the truth. Here in Hebrews 10:19, it says this, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now to stop there. That's it. Done deal. And the little phrase, that little word, by, it just changes my life and my relationship and my prayer life and my fellowship with God. And I hope it does yours too. By. Enter in boldly, and we could say, by Trent's holiness. No, can't do that then. By Trent's prayer life. By Trent, and you add whatever you want. Consistency, faithfulness, da 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 da. And it's just, it always will fail. But there's one thing unchanging, Unfailing. And that's what follows the word by. This is how I get there. I get there by the blood of Jesus. Oh, right. I can make it. It's not by me. It's not by anything that I really have anything to do with. It is by the life of God that was crucified. The life. The blood is in the life. The Son of God. He came. And He said, I'm going to give my life so you can have life. Wow. That's what He's given me. And sad to say, we live our lives so often in defeat when we are victorious. Because He's victorious. We live our lives in condemnation. Instead of living our lives in the light of the cross and in the power of it and allowing the life of the gospel, the life of God, to begin to just fill us with Him. Satan knows that if you stop praying, he wins. And if you really lay it on in prayer, you really start fellowshipping, and he knows it's like the shields are going up around you. Like he's not going to be able to touch you. You're going to be protected. He's going to be pushed down. Because when the cross is exalted, Satan is defeated. And when I begin to exalt the cross in my life and begin to live my life based upon the work of the cross, Satan has no victory. He can't do anything. And when I begin to realize, I don't feel like God loves me right now. I want to just tell you right now today, I do not feel like God loves me. Woke up this morning feeling pretty sick. I was tempted to call Pastor Richard, but I figured he worked hard enough yesterday. I couldn't do it to him. And just say, hey, I can't make it today. I didn't feel at all like God loved me. God, if you love me and want me to teach your word this morning, why don't you make me feel good? It wasn't there. But I know God loves me. That's not a, that feeling doesn't mean anything to the love of God. Now, I might not feel good. That's fine. Don't feel good. There's nothing I can do about that. But God loves me. See, you can take everything away from me. You can take away my health. You can take away my job. You can take away my family. But there's one thing that cannot separate me from what? The love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that Satan can't touch. But he seeks to. And we let him. No more. No more. You just say this. By the blood of Jesus. That's it. Don't mess with the blood of Jesus, Satan. And I say to myself, feelings, you can't mess with the blood of Jesus. You're not bigger than the blood of Jesus. And I say to my trials, you ain't nothing to the blood of Jesus. And I say to my health, yeah, but the blood of Jesus. He shed His blood that I might have life. And He promised me I'm going to get a new body. Hallelujah. Church, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And so with that confidence, at every time, at all times, in all seasons, with all prayers, with all requests or supplications, we're going to come to Him by the blood of Jesus. And when that can't be moved, prayer will ascend. When that's taken from you, you will cease praying. And from there, you will spiral down hard. And you will be at Satan's bidding. And so, let us, this week, practice that. Every time you feel like God doesn't love me, or I don't feel like praying, I don't feel like talking, and again, you don't have to verbalize it all, or I don't feel, just, I know this, God loves me and has given me access to His presence. Between services, Pastor Richard and I were discussing, reminding each other that He says here, therefore, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, He never says to leave. It's like you enter in. It's not like I enter in, I enter out, I enter in, I come out, in, out, in, out. That's a hamburger somewhere. But you enter in and you stay there. That's the Christian life. Because it's unbroken. Because you can't break or defeat the blood of Jesus. And so let's enter in. And let's choose by faith in the written truth of God's Word and the action of the cross. We're just not going out of God's presence. We might fall. We'll fall in His presence and get back up, and He'll restore us there. But we're just not going anywhere. But we're going boldly to the throne of grace, and we're staying there. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is life to our souls. And God, as we turn to the table of communion this morning, we pray You would fill us with, Lord, life. And You would give us, Lord, Your heart. And You would teach us Your way. You would help us, Lord, to come and open our eyes that we might see what the cup and the bread represent for Your glory and for Your honor. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.